though his third throw slipped in his hand, and it barely chipped the top edge of the target.
Might have trimmed his hair, Outlander.
Ryan only smiled in reply.
Blasters? This, I think, is where the Outlanders will be able to reveal a trick or two for us, for their weapons are not like any that we've ever seen in Markland.
The long guns are like those carried by the Seaborn traders 4 summers ago, Baron, who were...
You wish to join the Green Son of Sigurd, Harefoot?
No.
Then hold your mouth closed.
Yorint controlled himself with a considerable effort.
We go among the sand dunes, that way, through this thrice-cursed fog. I fear we cannot have any long shooting, so you won't be able to show how cunning your blasters are. It will be closeness and accuracy.
Ryan wondered, as he walked among the Norsemen, what had happened to those seaborne traders who'd visited the Vill. Baron Thoroldsen wasn't telling the whole truth. Then again, barons very rarely did tell the whole truth. They were about 300 yards from the nearest point of the Vill, completely hidden by the mist.
This is wasted time! The Widow's Scarf is wound too tight around the meeting place of land and water.
Quiet, Eagle.
Hey, Bjarni. I can see well enough to shoot an apple from your head.
Bjarni Earthmover had walked along with Ryan and was still teasing him about the axe throw that had so nearly missed. The Viking responded by pulling a small pippin from the pocket of his homespun breeches and offering it to him.
Here, Outlander. But is your skill with the blaster to be measured against spear or axe? If the former, then shoot away. If the latter... I'd as lief fight at broadsword against the Oldling there.
Bjarni pointed at Doc. Yorind shook his head at the suggestion.
This cursed fog is too thick for the Skraeling tricks, Bjarni. I think we should return to the steading. These 4 Outlanders have all shown they are sturdy warriors and worthy of joining us.
Let them fire! I would see it!
Eagle was right. We should return.
Suddenly, Ryan had a familiar feeling, the prickling of the short hairs at the back of his neck. He felt as though someone were standing behind him, but if he turned, that someone would turn with him so that he would never quite catch him.
I can blast the apple afternoon, or tomorrow.
Come, Outlander. No man cuts himself a haunch of mutton, then fails to devour it. Keep to your promise. Here's the apple.
There was no way out. Yorund recognized it, and so did Ryan. The fat Norseman walked forward and stood with his back to the water, close to the edge, facing Ryan. The others stood in a loose circle around them. Very carefully, Bjarni placed the golden apple on top of his blonde hair.
Shoot away!
Stand still!
Ryan unholstered the Sig Sauer and steadied it. The Viking was only 15 paces away, but the roiling banks of fog made it a slightly more difficult shot than usual. Ryan never had a moment's doubt that he could pull it off.
Ryan?
What, Jack?
Ryan lowered the pistol, knowing that the teenager wouldn't have spoken unless he had a good reason.
Heard something.
What?
The boy shook his head, the white hair dew-frosted and lank.
Not sure. Someone.
Eric grinned.
Probably some kitchen girl sneaking off for a quick swiving with a stable thrall. They come out here and get a sound thrashing if they're caught. And a branding if they do it again.
The moment of tension eased, and Ryan again lifted his handgun, extending his right arm and sighting along the barrel at the small circle of the apple. The fog behind Bjarni was white and translucent, making the target easier to see.
Ready?
Blast away!
The stout Norseman staggered back into the lake, the apple falling from his head, a mask of crimson spreading from the bullet hole above his left eye.
Oh, fuck. That wasn't me!
Ryan threw himself flat in the sand, his eye raking the fog for some sign of where the attackers were hiding. 2 Norsemen fell, wounded in a shower of bullets. The volley dispelled the microsecond suspicion that Ryan had shot Bjarni, who was already rolling belly up, his blood pinking the lake around him. The apple bobbed merrily in the ripples at the side of the corpse.
8, maybe 10. They got cap and ball weapons.
JB was lying a dozen yards away from Ryan. The Baron was crouched with most of his men a short distance to the right.
Ready, warriors! We will charge them!
They'll fucking chew you!
We must stop them, Outlander, or they'll get to the steading.
That was a fair point. The thought of Christy and Mildred being caught helpless and unawares was a goad toward some swift action. Then again, Ryan knew that his lover already suspected trouble and would certainly have heard the crackle of gunfire, even through the wall of mist.
Then we move back, together, and follow the waterline.
We do not run, Outlander.
Then stay and die, you triple stew bastard. Me and my friends will go and try to save your women, kids, and homes.
Three rounds came close enough to kick sand over Ryan.
Son of a bitch!
Eight. Five got single-shot muskets, homemades. Rest are old pistols.
Behind them, in the direction of Markland, they all heard more shooting. Ominous sounds came from the direction of Markland. It was enough to prompt the leader of the Vikings into more sensible action.
To the Steading Brothers! Follow me close and slay any who stand against us!
Ryan, followed by Jack, JB, and Doc, scrambled from the sand and moved at a fast jog along the beach. A couple of wild shots pursued them, but they didn't even hear the buzzing of the bullets. Ahead of them, there were the more distinct sounds of a bitter fight. Ryan found himself alongside Eric.
Who are they?
Enemy.
Ryan had already guessed that the attackers weren't likely to be friendly, but they were nearly at the edge of the vill, and there wasn't time for any further conversation. One of the huts, roof ablaze, loomed from the mist to the left. Ryan caught a glimpse of a tall figure that carried a struggling, kicking pig, but it vanished into the center of the vill.
Split up! Man for man! Slay them all!
Ryan had his pistol drawn and paused a moment to try to get his bearings.
Shit!
The odor of puddled blood was smothered for a moment by the tang of black powder. Ryan didn't know if the ball had been aimed at him.
Fire blast.
It was the sort of muddled brawl Ryan always hated. A man could be struck down and butchered in the fog and confusion, and never even see the hand that slew him. For a few moments he stood and waited, his back against the mud and wattle walls of the building. Smoke, gunpowder, and the scent of blood filled his nostrils. Ryan remembered the traitor said that a man who waited in a firefight would likely be chilled. The man who moved carefully would likely do the chilling.
All right, Ryan, time to move.
Ryan saw the first of the attackers as he dodged across the open space between two of the huts. One of the older Norsemen was hard-pressed, defending himself with an axe against the short, stabbing spear of his enemy, who was a skinny mutie dressed in a dancing assembly of rags and tatters. The mutie looked about 6 feet tall and had long hair that clung to a yellowed skull in greasy clumps. Its right arm was only slightly longer than normal, but its left hand protruded from near the shoulder on a tiny, paddle-like arm. As the fighter whirled about, Ryan glimpsed at least two more residual hands poking feebly through the mutie's clothes. One leg was inches shorter than the other and seemed to fork at the ankle into a bizarre, cloven foot. Ryan saw all of that in the first couple of seconds. He also saw that the Viking was tiring fast against the demonic energy of his attacker. Shifting a touch to his right, Ryan leveled the pistol. The 9mm round went straight through the mutie's head. The Norseman spotted Ryan holding the pistol and waved his axe in acknowledgement of his help. The attackers, mostly men, with a few women, were among the most severely mutated that Ryan had ever seen in Deathlands. The faces were grotesquely distorted, with eyes or noses missing, noses where there should have been ears, a single eye low on the cheek near the twisted corner of a misplaced jaw. Arms, legs, hands, and feet were present in varying numbers and proportions. One capering man had a length of leather bound across the top of his head. It had come loose in the fighting and flapped to and fro, revealing a hole in his skull as large as a man's fist. Because of the patchy mist, it was impossible to make out the number of the attackers. Ryan's fighting instinct told him there were more than a dozen in the group that had circled around and come straight at the heart of the vill. And he accepted JB's informed guess of eight and the other party that had ambushed them down at the beach. The Norsemen had overwhelming numbers on their side, but the muties had the surprise of their shock attack on theirs. Several huts had been set on fire, and Ryan himself had seen the hacked bodies of 9 or 10 of the Norse women and children. And several of the Viking warriors were either down or dead. But the arrival of the Outlanders, with their superior weaponry, quickly tipped the balance in favor of the Markland people. Ryan heard the unmistakable sound of Doc's Lamaw, finding moments later the dying figure of a mutie with half its belly blown away by the huge scattergun round. He saw JB, crouched like a gunfighter in an old vid, blasting from the hip at a trio of haggard women armed with cleavers. JB's handgun put all three down in the dirt in as many seconds. In combat like this, Jack Lauren was absolutely supreme, the best that Ryan had ever seen or ever expected to see. Wherever Ryan moved in the chaos of the vill, Jack's dancing, wild-haired dervish figure was there, a short-bladed knife in each hand. Blood streaked to the elbows, like a maniac butcher on the run from the nearest abattoir. Crimson dappled his pale face and dripped from the steel points of his blades. Where he stepped, men and women died. Ryan paid his own entry charge to parade the killing floor. A totally bald skeletal figure came lurching out of the fog toward him, holding a burning torch of resined wood. In the other hand, it held a single-edged axe with a long handle. The mutie was naked apart from a belt of broad leather with an enormous brass buckle. A woman's severed head hung from the belt, its face dangling against the creature's groin. It saw Ryan and began to swing the axe. Ryan fired once as the axeman charged him, but by one of life's viciously freakish accidents, the whirling blade of the axe caught the bullet and sent it howling into the fog-bound sky.
Ah, son of a bitch!
The impact made the axe ring, and the mutie paused, fighting to keep hold of it. Had the creature carried on, Ryan would have been in serious difficulty. As it was, he snatched the microsecond to snap off another round. The bullet hit the blonde head hung at its belt, smashing it apart. The jagged splinters of bone tore into the mutie's naked abdomen and crotch, shredding its genitals to scarlet rags of torn flesh.
Oh, shut the hell up.
It turned out to be the last death of the raid on Markland. Yorund showed his generalship in the aftermath of the attack. There were fires to be extinguished, livestock to be retrieved, Viking wounded to be tended, and their dead to be readied for burial. The corpses of the